Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program that they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, Setting and Maintaining Boundaries, comes from the audio program, The Gifts of Imperfect Parenting with Brené Brown. Stephen Lazard, a producer at Sounds True, was with Brené in Houston for this recording. Here's what Stephen had to say about this week's producer's pick.
To me, great teachers are those individuals whose messages and insights spread into many areas of our life. Brené is one of those teachers. Although this program is focused on learning how to parent and raise children with courage, compassion, and connection, it also helps teach us how to be the wholehearted individuals we hope to be. This week's producer's pick selection explores a difficulty Brené has uncovered within the parenting culture. It's the subtle shift from being parents to our children to the mistaken need to be our children's friend, first and foremost. She explores the importance of setting firm and loving boundaries and describes the child's need to push and test those boundaries as a natural part of childhood. She also shares the research that supports the importance of establishing these firm boundaries and how that impacts the development of children into adults, adults who are willing to dare, willing to take chances, and are equipped to live a wholehearted life.
You can download the entire program, The Gifts of Imperfect Parenting, at SoundsTrue.com. And now, our producer's pick, Setting and Maintaining Boundaries with Brené Brown.
I think in many ways, there's been a shift in the parenting zeitgeist, might be the best way to say it, where we seem to be moving away from parenting in some situations and toward becoming friends with our kids. And I think it's a dangerous shift, and I'll tell you why. Our children are developmentally hardwired to push and test limits. We often see that as defiance, as, you know, everything from talking back, being disrespectful. And certainly there are lines and there are limits. But one of the things that we've seen in the research, and not just my research, is that we've seen that kids who really push limits and push boundaries and test with their parents have better social outcomes. They understand themselves in ways that children who simply comply and never push, they don't ever get to try on different ways of being that are helpful to know as they become adults. And so the short answer here, in my opinion, is that kids are hardwired to push. It's their job to push boundaries, and it's our job to hold them. The tension that that creates is an incredibly important experience for our kids. Here's why. We did a couple of focus groups with young college adults, 18, 19 years old, and asking them really about the boundaries their parents set, how strict were their parents. Let me tell you what happened, because it changed my life. As soon as we opened the floor to discussion around the question of, tell me about the limits that were set by your parents, how strict were your parents, what kind of rules did you have, what ensued was a battle of whose parents were the strictest. So what we heard was, oh man, my parents were super strict. I couldn't even see an R-rated movie till I was 17. R-rated movie? R-rated movie? I was never allowed to see an R-rated movie. I couldn't see a PG movie when I was 20. You know, I mean, just it was outrageous. I wasn't allowed to watch this and this on television. Oh, how nice you had a television. We didn't even have one in our house. I was only allowed to watch PBS. I mean, it was this exaggerated bragging rights about whose parents were the strictest, which was telling in itself. But here was the piece that was life-changing for me as a parent. There were a couple of people in this focus group who did not speak and who actually kind of their heads went down and their body language just was screaming discomfort and maybe even shame. Afterward, I asked one of the doctoral students who was there with me, did you see that? And they said, oh man, absolutely. And I pulled those kids aside and talked to them a little bit about it. And what emerged in both of those interviews was I had no rules. I had no boundaries. I got to do whatever I wanted to do. My parents really didn't care. My parents were the ones who bought all the booze for the parties. I wasn't sure if it was an anomaly. I wasn't sure if it was something that just kind of was a coincidence. We had one more focus group, same exact dynamic. The kids who were raised with boundaries, were raised with rules, really spoke up. And the kids who had none were just completely quiet. They did not engage at all. And what was important about that for me is that I never saw not having rules, not having boundaries, not being told no, not having set limits was never bragging rights. Kids were not proud of that. And I think what happens is, yeah, it's really tough when we've got a 16-year-old and we're setting limits. And clearly, I don't know, because my daughter is getting ready to be 13 and we are just now in that territory and it's already rocky. But what I know from how I was parented is that I had very set boundaries and my parents were absolutely engaged and paying attention and there were rules and the rules were often in my best interest. And what I think that means for children is you're watching and you care and you're looking out for me. I love to use the metaphor of, you know, those big bridges that go across the caverns and they're the rickety bridges and the wood slats make up the bottom of them and then the ropes make up the side of them. The cavern underneath is 1,000 feet down. Parenting without boundaries is like sending your children racing across that bridge and taking off the handrails. Boundaries give kids something to hold on to. It gives them a sense of security, safety, enclosure. I can step out and do some adventurous things, but I can try. What I found in my research is the kids who were willing to dare the most and take chances and innovate and create were kids that had pretty sophisticated boundaries from their parents. Our kids depend on limits. Our job is to hold them. Our job is not always to be liked. And the things that make our children grow up to be joyful, well-adjusted adults are not always what makes them happy in terms of being kids where limits are being set. There is a disconnect there, and I think sometimes we have to suffer through not being understood. The second thing that emerged for me is incredibly important around boundaries, and this was new information. In fact, because my husband's a pediatrician, I often talk about parenting with him, and when I was describing this piece of the research to him, we were driving from Houston to Austin, and he literally pulled over and said, "Let me get this straight." One of the things that emerged as very important is that children learn how to hold boundaries based on how we hold boundaries. So, for example, Ellen wants to go to a party, and I'm not comfortable with her going because I don't know the parents well, and parents drink a lot, and I'm not sure how supervised the kids are going to be. So I tell her, "I'm sorry, Ellen, I'm not comfortable with you going to the party. If you'd like to invite some friends over, you can do that, but I'm not comfortable with you going to the party." And Ellen says to me, "Mom, everybody is going. All of our friends are going." So it's my job in that situation to hold my boundary. If I say, "Oh, well, are Sue and Teresa letting their kids go?" "Yeah." "Okay, well, if everyone's going to be there, then you can go." Here's a lesson I just taught. Hey, Ellen, when you're trying to hold a boundary, you can let it go as long as everyone's doing it. So now what I'm picturing Ellen in a situation where she's at a party and everyone's taking a pill that belongs to Susie's mom. It's supposed to be awesome. And Ellen says, "No, I don't think so." And a friend turns to her and says, "Everyone's doing it." "Oh, yeah. Mom taught me, well, if everyone's doing it, it's okay." Same scenario. She wants to go to this party, and I say no, and she looks at me and she says, "I hate you. I cannot believe you're doing this to me." And I say, "Ellen, come on, I'm your BFF. You know how much I love you." And she said, if you loved me, you know, I'm going to be, I mean, I'm not talking to you. I mean, I'm so mad. I just really, I can't believe you'd do this to me. I thought you understood. Okay, Ellen, I don't want you to be mad. Okay, you can go to the party, but I'm going to pick you up at 10. Ellen's at the party because I let her go. And spin the bottle's going on, and some of the girls are taking off their shirts. And Ellen's like, I don't think so. That does not work for me. And her friend looks at her and goes, I hate you. You know, you're so prude. Oh, well, I don't want you to hate me. I thought we were best friends. I thought you were going to, you know, we'd do this together. Oh, yeah, my mom said, you know, if you're going to be disliked or you're uncomfortable or someone's mad, then that's a good time. This is how our kids learn boundaries. They learn by how we set them and hold them. And so if Ellen looks at me and said, everyone's going, then I look back and say, you know, I don't look back and say what my parents said. Well, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Because you know what the answer to that is when you're, you know, a tween or a teen? The answer is, oh, hell yes, if everyone jumped off a bridge, I'm jumping off a bridge. The worst case scenario is everyone's dead and I'm the only one here with you. No, I'm jumping. You know, it's not a good metaphor. But I would look at her and say, I get that everyone's going. And I probably would do some questioning around that. Is everyone really going? And I'd probably bring up some names of folks that I would be surprised if they were going. But if everyone was going, I'd probably end up just saying, I'm sorry, and that makes it tougher. And I wish you could go. And if you wanted to invite some friends over here, we can do that. And I know it's really hard to feel like you're the only one that doesn't get to do anything and everyone's going to be talking about it Monday at school. And I'm sorry about that, but I'm not comfortable with you going. I don't feel like it's safe. And then, you know what? I take the lumps because that's what I signed up for as a parent. If she looks at me and she says, I hate you, then I look back at her and say, you know what? That hurts my feelings. But if that's how you feel, that's okay. I love you. You're still not going to the party. One of the things that comes up around boundaries and actually comes out around a lot of these guideposts, because I think what people are hearing is, oh, my God, this is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and it's a lot of sacrifice. And I've thought a lot about parenting sacrifice since I've started doing this research, which I've been interviewing around parenting for 6 years. It was clear in my early shame work that parenting is a huge variable, so I've always interviewed around it. A couple of months ago, I was at church. I go to an Episcopal church here in Houston, and the priest was talking about the nature of sacrifice, and he explained how the word sacrifice in its Latin original form meant to make sacred or to make holy. And now when I'm thinking, God, this is a lot of work, and oh, I don't want to go toe-to-toe, or I don't want to explain this for the 48th time, and it does feel like a sacrifice, and I've got a big life going on, and I've got so many things to do and so many pressures, you know, on my time, I think about, is this parenting sacrifice, or is this the process by which we make family sacred? And to me, the idea of engaging and paying attention in this very short journey, relatively speaking, is a holy act, and it is about making my family sacred. And I'll just share that with you as something that's helped me. And so as we think about boundaries, the two things to keep in mind is, one, how you set and hold boundaries is how your children will set and hold boundaries. And number two, it's their job to push and test limits, and it's our job to hold them.